Clifford Tibbetts from the Waterloo, Quebec. I was born and brought up in that district, and I went to school in that district, finished my high school, and in 1939, I joined the forces.
Mr. Tibbetts, what was your family? Were they Canadian born?
They were Canadian born.
Yes, and you're not French Canadian.
No, I'm not French Canadian. No. I'm just as far as I know it, I'm English and Scottish.
Scottish, Anglo-Saxon background. Yeah. You finished your high school, and were you working before you joined up, or did you just?
Yes, I was. I was working in a factory, a plywood manufacturer.
And when did you join?
In 1939.
And what made you just join? Did you feel?
Well, I just felt if it was my duty to. It was more or less my brother was in the 1914 war, and I figured that he done his duty, and it was up to me to follow in his footsteps.
How old were you then?
I was 24. Yes.
And tell me about your enlistment. Where did you join?
Well, I joined up in Richmond, Quebec. That's where my brother was living, and on one weekend I was out there visiting. And we both went to join up together.
We got the idea.
We got the idea. But he was rejected, and I was enrolled. And I went to Quebec City, the Citadel, and done my training. And from there, we went from over to Newfoundland. And from Newfoundland, we come back to Quebec City. And we went to St. John's, New Brunswick. And we were sent back to the Citadel in Quebec. And we was organized to be shipped overseas. We didn't know which part of the continent we was going to or whatsoever.
When was that? Do you remember when
that was?
That
was in November 41. I don't remember
fine.
The date.
That's fine. That just gives the idea of the time.
And we more or less figured out afterwards before we was told where we was going, that we was going over into the Pacific. And then we got part way over there, around the Philippines, and our brigadier come out and told us that where we were supposed to be stationed at, Hong Kong.
And you were with what did they call the regiment, the Quebec?
The Royal Rifles, Canada.
And what had your basic training, had you been trained for really? Was it small arms?
Well, it was just small arms I was out.
Had you machine gun training too?
Light machine guns.
And you had no mortar or artillery training? Nothing.
No,
like
we had no mortar or artillery training whatsoever.
So you boarded the Avatia, I suppose, in Vancouver.
Yeah.
What was it like when you arrived in Hong Kong?
Well, it was new to us. We found it pleasant and novelty and everything, just and the people was all strange.
And was that the first time you've been offshore?
Oh, no. Well, I've been offshore. Well, the only time I was offshore is when we went to Newfoundland.
Oh, yes, that's right. So this is really quite a different experience.
Oh, that was quite a different experience. It was 21 days, I think it was.
What did you do in that training? 21 days, what they do with
him? Well, we didn't do hardly anything, just the odd guard duty on the ship and just laying around.
Mm-hmm. And then when you got to Hong Kong, did they take you around the island and show you anything?
No, they never, we didn't have no trips around the island whatsoever.
They just kept you to barracks?
We just kept, we wasn't there, it was only about a little over week and a half, 2 weeks, you see. They didn't have time. There was a few, the officers went around and looked the situation over, but
How did you find the barracks and everything when you got there?
Well, they wasn't what we've been accustomed to. It was an old stone barracks. And our beds we had to lay on was just, all out of metal, no strings or anything. It was just what we call them, biscuits laid on the top of it.
And not comfortable.
Well, no, it wasn't too comfortable.
How about washing up in a place like that? Were they?
Oh, we had plenty of facilities to wash and shower and everything like that.
What was the food like?
The food was kind of different to what we was accustomed to do. Mostly rice and fish. I call them greens.
But then, and how do you like the climate?
Well, the climate, I like the climate very well myself.
Did you have any premonition or any feeling that something was brewing? Did anything strike you?
No, not myself. Maybe it did to the other officers or something, but as far as the ordinary troops, I don't think there was any of them that figured that there was anything going to happen.
Did you see any people being evacuated or anything?
No.
So you were really, where were you when the war started?
I was in the camp when the bombing started, when they first bombed the air barracks.
Oh, yeah.
I was in camp, and that was, well, there were a few of the troops out on maneuvers, like, but the majority of us was all in camp.
What'd you do, run for cover?
Well, yeah, we were so surprised, dumbfounded, that we didn't really know. We just...
You just stood there?
We just stood there and couldn't realize what was happening.
Then what happened?
Then we was all evacuated. Afterwards, we was taken back up into the hills and stationed around at different various points.
Where were you stationed to?
Well, right there now, I couldn't really say the name of the place.
So were you, a platoon?
Yeah.
Who was your platoon head?
It was Mr. Lester.
And where did he take you? Were you to hold a dug-in somewhere?
Well, we was to hold this, more or less little dug-in, like.
What did you have?
All we had was just our small machine guns, these Bren guns, and our rifles.
And were you attacked there? Did you fight?
No, we didn't. Wasn't attacked there. We moved out there, and then we moved up to Repulse Bay on the 22nd of December.
Okay.
And we was attacked there. That's where I got my wound.
Well, had they been fighting quite a while at Repulse Bay when you got there?
No, they were just more or less fortifying it for in case.
Mm-hmm. And you were brought in as backup too?
We was back brought in, you see, and it was attacked when it was brought in.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose you were just overrun, were you?
Well, yes, we was overrun.
Were the Jeffs all around you?
Oh, they was all surrounded there. We couldn't, up on the hills, we could see them standing way up on the top of the hills on the skyline, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And some of our officers wouldn't really believe it was Japs. They thought it was our own soldiers. Taking place.
No. But did you have any rank, or just a
regular? No, I was just a regular private.
And how were you? What happened? What day did you give up, or were you?
It was on the 25th of December.
So you had fought right up until Christmas Day, and were many of your men? You were wounded then.
Yeah, I was wounded on the 22nd.
And where were you wounded?
had my right arm.
And were you taken to a hospital?
Well, I was taken to the hospital what we were using for emergency hospital was a college, St. Mary's College. And that's where we was taken prisoners on the Christmas morning.
They came in the hospital?
They come right in the hospital there.
What'd they do?
Well, they come in there and there was, they didn't really suspect it was a hospital, but they didn't have no Red Cross flag up or nothing. They just had a Union Jack flying over top of the school, you see, and the Japs figured it was more or less a headquarters there. Well, yes, I was. Dad was laying on the floor on a mattress.
Had you been attended to? Had a good doctor?
No, I hadn't been attended to at all so far. At the time, my arm was just more put into a splint, emergency splint, like you see.
And did they make you get up?
Oh yes, we had to get up and walk into a small room. Kept us there for a while, and they put us up on the second floor into there was about 40 or 50 of us into a little small room. Oh, not so big as this.
Like a small bed?
Yeah.
How long were you
in there? Oh, it was in there. Well, it was in there practically all day and part of the night before we was let out. They were given any water or anything to drink. And we stayed there all night, and it was the following day that we were taken from there up to the original hospital in Hong Kong, Lord Road.
Did they march you up there?
No, they took us up in trucks.
In trucks, and what happened at the hospital?
Well, the hospital, as soon as I got in there, they took me right into emergency, you see, and operate down my arm, but done what they could, but they didn't have the soldiers to do it.
They didn't have enough with the equipment?
They didn't have no equipment, because the job, you see, it's complicated, all the equipment.
So they took the medical equipment out?
Oh, yes.
Who's the doctor, did you know?
No, I couldn't say who the doctor was.
Was probably a British doctor.
It was one of the British doctors, one of the staff from the Bournemouth Hospital.
Did you get anesthesia?
Yeah.
So that wasn't, they didn't take that?
No, they didn't take that.
What, they just set your arm?
No, they had to, the bone was splintered. They had to take pieces of bone out, and they just put more splints onto it and thought it might heal back together.
And how long were you in that hospital?
Oh, I was in there, I must have been in there for about 2 years, year and a half, 2 years.
What was it like?
Well, it was fairly comfortable. We had fairly, good, fairly nourishing food. Good facilities.
Who nursed you?
At
Hong Kong
nurses? Yeah, the Hong Kong nurses.
And the hospital was under Japanese
control.
And was the doctor still a British doctor?
Yes.
And you were in there for 2 years?
Year and a half,
And what was your diet like? What did they give you, rice?
Well, it was mostly rice and fish and these greens.
And how was your weight? Did you hold up pretty good?
Well, I did for a while, but then I started to go down.
What did you figure?
Around that.
And that's because the food didn't have enough?
It didn't have enough proteins in it.
And then what did you do?
Well, I just kept carrying on.
Did you get very badly?
Well, not too bad. I had a little bit, but not as bad as lots of the other boys did.
What did you do in the hospital? Were you mobile? Did you walk around?
Oh, yes. I was up after well, practically all the times I was in there that I had my arm in a splint.
What did you do with yourself? What was the day like?
Well, it would get pretty monotonous at first, but I said to myself, there's no use of getting up near us or anything like that. We just had to live from day to day. That's how I come.
You just took it as it came?
Just took it as it came.
Did you play cards and things like that?
Oh, yes. We had the odd time. We'd get hold of a deck of cards, played cards.
Did the Japs come and bother you at all in the hospital? Did they sort of leave you alone?
No, they never seemed to bother us at all. They might come in once in a while just to inspect around.
Mm-hmm. And how were the nurses and the doctors in the hospital treated by the Japanese?
Well, I think there was... I never heard no complaints.
Well, did they put any Japanese in that hospital? Any of the soldiers? Were they cared for?
I couldn't say why they was cared for, but there was no Japanese or whatsoever in that hospital.
And I suppose you never saw them attending to their own wounded, eh?
No.
I haven't come across one person who's told me what happened to any of the wounded Japanese soldiers.
Well, there was, I know one of the Grenadier boys, but I think he's not here now. He's up in British Columbia. I think I heard that he died here a few years ago. But he was in the Japanese controlled hospital.
Oh, I see. So he would know too.
He'd know, but the rest of the boys, I don't think there's any of them I know of.
And what did you do after you left the hospital?
Well, they sent us down to the main camp, you see, and we carried on this.
What camp was that?
That was first they sent us to North Point camp, right on the island. About a month or so afterwards, they shipped us all over to Kowloon on the mainland. That was our main camp over there.
And what did you do there?
Well, we carried on, walked around, and ones that could played ball.
Did you go on? You couldn't go on any work parties yet?
Well, no, I didn't. I went on. I was sent out on two work parties. But that was just on the doctor's fault. Like I've been in the hospital and I was discharged, and he put down okay for working parties. So then I went out on two parties, working parties.
Yes.
That was in charge of the working party, he went and told the doctor about it. And the doctor, he was very sorry that he done that.
Who's the doctor?
Dr. Banfield.
Oh, yeah.
That was our...
Doctor Camp. And what party were you sent out to?
It was on the airport in Kowloon there.
So you couldn't dig and you
could... No, I couldn't. I couldn't work for the Japanese. Well, they see my condition right off and they wouldn't let me work at all. They just told me to motion to me, and they went to the little tent they had there and said, I could do anything I wanted.
So they really weren't mean to you, eh?
No, they wasn't mean to any of the ones that I saw if you obeyed their orders. Mm-hmm. If you didn't obey, of course, naturally they'd punish you.
Did you find yourself able to do any little chores around to keep
going? Oh, yes.
What did you used to do?
Oh, I used to go to the kitchen and help bring the food over to the camp.
Because mm-hmm. You had to do something to keep yourself.
Oh, yes, we moved around.
How many were you in your position, do you think, that would lay around the camp?
Well, there was, at last, the ones that was put aside from the main ones that was supposed to be perfectly healthy, well, I'd say those must have been around 50.
50?
Yeah.
And did you do orderly duty or help other sick people? Or?
No, they had their own
orderlies.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, if you were sick laying around, did you get less rations in the working?
No, we got the same rations.
You got the same rations. And how long did you stay all your time at Sanchipo?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you never worked?
No, I never worked.
So you just sort of were a helper around the camp?
I was just a while. I'd do the odd little chores around the, the camps when they'd figure that I could do. You see, I had my arm in a sling here like that, and all I could just do was with my left hand.
Mm-hmm. Did the doctors in the hospital ever take a look at your arm and see if they could do something for it?
Oh, they did it at first, but at last there was nothing that they could do, so they didn't.
Did it get infected?
No, it didn't get infected.
Mm-hmm. You got beriberi?
No.
You didn't get it?
Well, I got a little touch of it, but nothing to be...
Mm-hmm. Did you get the dysentery or anything?
Yes, I had dysentery.
Mm-hmm. Did you have it better?
I had it bad enough. I was in the hospital in camp hospital for, I think, probably 2 months or 3 months, as near as I can remember.
Did you get any Red Cross parcels?
Yes, but the last, I think, was the last year and a half before our freedom. We got a bunch of Red Cross parcels.
Did you write any letters and get any letters back?
We never got no letters back. I never did anyway, and lots of the other boys didn't either.
And did you remember the escape, or were you there when they had the escape?
Okay. Yes, I heard talk about it.
Mm-hmm. You didn't. You wasn't in your hut.
I wasn't in the hut. I was in the hospital at the time.
Oh, I see. Do you remember, was Kamloops, that guard, Canadian, Japanese, was he in your camp?
Yeah, he was the camp commodore.
Wow. Did you see him, any of his brutality or any signs of it?
No, I never see any of his brutalities, but I've seen him around camp lots of times.
Mm-hmm. Were you called out for Parade Square all the time too, or
yeah,
were you allowed to be?
We had to go out on the Parade Square every morning, every night.
Mm-hmm. And you never got hit by the Japanese?
Just once.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what it was for? Or was it?
Yes, it was really my own fault because I was late for parade.
Oh, okay. Did you just slap
me? I just slapped me.
And did you have a close buddy, or do you remember anything personal or anything that happened to you in the camp that you could tell me about an incident? Some of the things that happened to you.
Yes, there was one incident that happened that was on a bombing raid. Mm-hmm. And I was over crossed from my hut over to another friend's hut. And everything, they all seemed to be all quiet, but the all clear hadn't sounded yet. And it was just at supper time. And I knew if I wasn't there to collect my supper, I wouldn't get any. So I took a chance and run across. And just as I was running across, I had 2 shots fired at me.
Who by, do you think?
By the Japanese.
Oh, I see, because you were not supposed to.
Yeah, because I wasn't supposed to be out, you see. The all clear hadn't sounded yet.
And that's all?
That's all, yeah.
Was that kind of American bombing, right?
Yeah.
Did they ever go at the camp, or did they miss the camp?
No, they never went at the camp. Okay. They was right around close to the camp, but they never...
When you went into camp, did you figure it would just be a short time? Did you ever have an idea you'd be all that long and concentrating camp?
No, we all... I know I did. I don't know if the rest of them did or not, but I figured, well, day to day. Might be today. If it's not today, it'll be tomorrow.
You had no idea it would be for that length?
Oh, no.
Did you get, do you remember any of your buddies dying? Yes. Were you on any of the burial details?
Yes, I was on one burial detail.
How'd your friend, how did this chap die?
Diphtheria.
Diphtheria, oh yeah. You never got it?
No, I didn't. I was one of the carriers.
They called you a carrier?
Yeah,
isn't that
I'm the carrier.
Yeah, I guess you had inoculation when you were a kid, eh?
Well, yes, I had inoculations for that, but I don't know if it was... Because I had a brother-in-law. I had 2 brother-in-laws in there. One of them died after diphtheria, mm-hmm. and the other one was a carrier.
And what were their names?
Smith.
And they were from Quebec Rifle?
Yeah.
So they were in camp with you there. And one of them died from...
Yeah, he died shortly after that.
What were their first names?
Lawrence Smith and Edward Smith.
So you were quite... So you did have family. In the old days, it was not unusual for families to join up together, like brothers and sisters.
Oh, yeah, they'd all be in together, right?
Yeah, I see. When your brother-in-law died, were you with him?
No, I wasn't with him, but his brother was with him.
Mm-hmm. And was he very sick? Or did he just...
He was... Well, I see him once. And he wasn't too bad. He had hard work to talk. You had hard work to understand him.
Mm-hmm.
Because his throat was filled up, so...
Mm-hmm. And then they just died. How many did you think died from that? Did you keep a record? Did you have any idea?
No, I did know, but I forgot. It's went out of my memory.
Somebody was telling me about one a day he died.
Oh, yes, there was, because... There was some days there that there was four and five, and it was up as high as eight buried at the same time, same day.
Did they have a service for them? Did they have a Christian burial?
Yes.
Did you have a padre in the family?
We had two padres, a Catholic and an Anglican.
Uh-huh. And what did you do, hold service?
Well, they held a little service, you know, prayers.
And then where did they bury them?
They buried them outside of camp, but that's another thing that slipped my mind too. The name.
Doesn't matter. How about how far away from camp was it?
Oh, it was about, I'd say, 4 or 5 miles.
Oh, I see. So they went to Riker Cemetery.
Oh, yes.
And did you carry the coffin?
Yes.
You were pallbearers?
Well, we were pallbearers.
Then they'd hold a service, and did your own prisoners dig the graves, or did they have a?
That I couldn't say.
You don't remember.
No. That was outside of camp, you see, and when we got there with the body, the grave was already
dug. Did you get your cigarettes from camp? Getting money?
We got some money. Enough to more or less we could buy a few cigarettes and a few little other little things out of the canteen we had there.
Did you ever scrounge around, do any trading?
Oh yes.
You did that?
Oh, yes.
When you went into the hospital, did you have to give? Were you completely searched, and did you get rid of your watch and everything, or were you able to?
Well, they took everything away from us there when we was taken prisoner.
They did.
First, yeah.
They took everything. They stripped you down. Some of them they didn't. And so you didn't have much to trade with them.
I didn't have anything to start off with.
No. No. Did you play poker in camp or cards?
Yeah, we played cards, we played all different kinds of games.
Mm-hmm. Did you get to make any friends with the Japanese, or did you bother with them?
No, we didn't. I know I didn't, especially, but there was the odd ones. Mm-hmm. They did, it was kind of friendly.
Mm-hmm. What did you feel about those guards, that they were just doing their work?
Well, that was my opinion. It was, they had that... to do, and they were just having to upkeep their authority.
So you don't have that big resentment against them?
No, I don't have the resentment against the guards around the camp or anything like that. It's just the warriors, the soldiers that we fought with, that's the ones I resented.
Mm-hmm. They were bad.
That was, more or less barbarians, I call them.
They were. I understood that they molested the women in the hospital.
Oh yes, at that hospital, emergency hospital I was in, there was two or three women nurses there, and they was molested and killed.
They killed them as well. That must have been a terrible shock to you. Eh?
Well, it, at that time we didn't realize it so much till we did after. 6 months or so after, we began to realize, and it
That's what happened to them. But they just took those nurses out of their
room. Oh, yes. Just took them right out.
And I guess you thought maybe they were, you didn't realize where they were taking them.
Oh, no.
And if you, after you were captured, was there any wounded left behind where you were that couldn't walk, or were you able to bring those to the emergency?
Well, they was all brought in.
They were all brought in. Some places they couldn't bring them.
There was just one soldier that I remember of, that he was laid out in the field for about a week after the war was over. But he had enough rations in the foxhole where he was in, enough rations, and he had quite a bit of liquor. And he was wounded in his hand. And the only thing that saved his hand was he kept pouring the liquor on it to keep the poison out.
And he was finally found?
And he was found. He was picked up by the Japanese out looking around, scouring around on the...
Uh-huh. Somebody told me that they had killed their wounded. Some of the wounded didn't bother with them. I guess that was right on the battlefront or somewhere. Did you, let's see what else.
That is, it was by diphtheria, but there was a few of them, a amount of them, that died of malnutrition and diarrhea.
How many men were in the hut?
Oh, I'd say there was around 100,
125. Mm-hmm. And how many men do you think were in that camp? How many men in those 3 years do you roughly think died? Do you think one third of them, or more, or less?
No, there was only about. I don't think there was one third.
I'm not talking about the diphtheria. No. Diphtheria took a lot.
That was the diphtheria, but I mean just
dysentery and
malnutrition. Dysentery and malnutrition.
Do you think the fellows who stayed in Hong Kong did better than the ones who went to Japan?
No, I don't.
No.
I think the ones, when I was coming back from overseas after the war, I met the ones that was over in Japan properly, and they was really physical or fit than what we was.
What do you think, that the tropical fevers and diseases kept you down more?
Yeah, that's what I figured.
There was malaria in your camp.
Oh yes, there was malaria, but there wasn't too much. Just the odd cases.
One thing about the Japanese, they let your men be clean, didn't they?
Oh, yes.
They themselves are fairly clean people.
Well, they seem to be.
So, you see, they allow you to keep your bearing clean, so that made a difference. What did you wear in camp? The same outfit for 4.5 years? What did you have?
Well, we had more or less... all the clothes that was sent in to us by the Red Cross, and that was about all in the summer times. Well, we didn't wear practically anything, only a
little strap.
Little strap.
Because you wanted to save your clothes?
We had to save our clothes, one barefooted.
Were you cold in the winter?
Not too much. Just on a windy day with my son.
Tell me about liberation. How did you become liberated?
Liberated, well, we'd heard rumors about the war was just about to end it. But at night, around 9 o'clock at night, we noticed there was no guards around at all. And then I was up fairly close to the where they had the head office, and it was out in the side there burning stuff. And next morning we got up and we was all liberated.
Did you have an idea that this was happening? I suppose you seen like you bombing in it.
No, we didn't. Never seen no bombing. It was only a big bombing there was. There was one time when they come over and bombed the harbor there at Hong Kong. And the harbor was pretty well filled up with boats, and they mowed there. They must have been over there for about an hour and a half, 2 hours.
When did you figure the war was? Did you sense that the war was going the other way? I mean, did you have much idea what was going outside?
Well, we sensed a change, and we had more or less a few grapevine.
Yeah, you had the grapevine that goes in every place. Did you see a newspaper?
No, we didn't see no newspapers at all.
And how about the guards? Did they start to behave differently, or did you sense a difference?
Well, they was more accommodating.
They started to loosen up. How was your camp commandant? He never told you.
He didn't tell us at all. He just disappeared.
So then what did you do the next day?
Well, the next day we was all went out rounding around seeing what we could find.
Did you go into town?
Yeah, we was all over town. But we never went alone. We was all a bunch of us together because we didn't know what would.
How about the Chinese people in the town themselves? Did they look pretty happy?
Oh, they was. They seemed to be, anyway.
How did you feel about the Chinese had towards the Japanese? Did you feel that they hated them?
Oh, yes, they did.
They really hated them. They were mean to them.
Yes, they was really mean to them, because I talked with a few, the old people. They said that they was very badly treated.
Did the people in Hong Kong suffer?
That I could not commit myself.
Yeah. They must have had short rations.
They had short rations, I imagine, because there was one orderly that was worked at our hospital. He was in the British Army. And he was married. He'd been over there for quite a few years, and he was married to a Japanese, not a Japanese, but a Chinese. He used to say that there was pretty well short of ration.
Was he captured, or was he alive?
Yes, he was captured at the hospital. You see, he was an orderly at the hospital.
Oh, yeah. And wonder what happened to his wife. Was she left?
Oh yes, she used to come up. I used to see her come up and visit him. She wouldn't be allowed inside the hospital ground, but he'd have to go out to the gate and talk with her through the.
And then she could slip on the feet.
Oh yeah, she brought out different parcels for him, you know, clothes or.
I wonder how she managed. She must have had to work or something.
Oh, I imagine.
I understand the Japanese got rid of a lot of Chinese on the island and took them sent to mainland.
Well, they sent them, I guess, probably to the mainland and put them out in working camps or something like that.
And after you went to town on your Liberation Day, what did you do?
Well, we looked around as much as we dared, and then we come back and stayed in camp.
What did you eat? Did you get some rations?
We got the rations, yeah, but it was the same rations that we did have, only we had more of them.
Yeah. And did you find any food that was locked away from you guys?
No.
I guess they didn't have that much food themselves.
They didn't have known too much, I don't imagine.
Did you get one of the Red Cross parcels? Did you break them open?
Oh, yes.
And then what was the first people you saw off our side?
It was the first people of our side was the Liberation boat that come in.
What was the name of that boat?
It was a hospital boat anyway. I come back on as far as the Philippines.
How'd they treat you with a big meal?
Oh yes, we had plenty.
And you were in camp, liberated. Now, how long did it take you after the liberation to be put on the boat for the Philippines?
I think it was about 2 weeks.
2 weeks. So there you were liberated, and you didn't know what was going to happen to you.
We were just waiting day to day.
And I bet that was the longest wait.
That was longer than really the 3 years. Well,
I guess you just went crazy.
Oh, we didn't know what to do with it.
Were you able to send a message home?
No.
Nothing even in that time. No. You never got to a telegraph office or anything?
No, we never got to. No, I didn't get no word home till I was on the hospital boat. The officer come around and he said if there was any messages anybody would like to send home to their people, and I give him a little message, and I don't know if really I forgot now if they did receive it or not.
And where did you go in this hospital?
I went to the Philippines, Manila, just outside of Manila, there at the American base.
And how long were you there?
I was there, probably about 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks.
Did you do get medical treatment?
Well, we got needles, medical treatment. We didn't need anything like that, but they give us all kinds of needles, you see, injections.
To try and build you?
To build us up, and we had different tropical diseases or anything like that.
Yeah, trying to treat and help you out right away.
Yes.
And you were treated well?
Oh, yes, we were treated very well there in the American hospital.
Oh, from Manila, where'd you go?
In Manila, we come through to Victoria. I was in Victoria Hospital there for about a month.
And did you hear from your family then?
Yes, that was the first time I heard from the family when I got to Vancouver.
And did they know you were dead? Had they heard from you, or had they given you up for dead, or what?
No, hadn't given me up for dead, because they had got more or less word through the Army headquarters that I was alive and everything, and they knew that I was on my way back.
Mm-hmm. But during the time you were in a prisoner of war, they had an idea you were alive?
Oh, yes.
They knew?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a shock to them, was it?
No.
And then after Victoria, what did you do? You get sent home to Quebec?
Yeah. Well, I was sent home to Montreal, to the Montreal Military Hospital. I was sent home from there for, that was in November, and I was sent home till after New Year's. I had to report back for my embassy for an operation.
What did they do for your arm?
Well, they done 2 bone grafts, but it was not successful.
And so were you able to work at all?
Oh yes, I've worked from 48 up to 67.
To 67. And what type of work did you do?
Well, I've done mostly labor. Well, I would call it labor work. It was more or less on a press operator. And at last, when I was working in Toronto, I was working at the Ideal Index Card Company. Mm-hmm. It's a maintenance, mm-hmm. machine maintenance. Mm-hmm.
So that wouldn't be too heavy?
No, it wasn't heavy. Heavy lifting or anything.
And this labor work, were you using both arms while you were doing the
maintenance? Yes.
And your right arm was working well then?
Well, it wasn't working well. It was working more or less with this one here. This one was...
Were you right-handed before?
Yes.
So you had to learn to write, eh?
No, I still use my right hand to write.
You learned to use your right hand. And then when did you have to quit working?
Well, on account of I had a slight heart.
Heart attack, eh? And how long have you been off?
Since 67.
67. So you were sort of, I suppose you're 100, are you 100%?
I'm 100% now, yes.
And it's rather a matter of you trying to put in time now, eh?
Well, you say it.
You say it, eh? In other words, you'd much rather be working.
I'd rather be working. if I had something that would pass my time away instead of just sitting around.
The doctor said you can't work.
Yeah.
He said that. Your heart must be quite bad, then.
Well, it could, it wouldn't be worse than what I figured it is, but that's what the, it was a civilian, I was in a civilian hospital there in Toronto. The thing that put me very true that I was not supposed to work anymore.
Because mm-hmm. You don't look old enough to be retired. So, how do you feel about this whole setup? Do you feel that it was bitter about that experience? Or?
About this Hong Kong affair?
Yeah.
It was a more or less experience that they didn't know themselves what was going to happen.
And you just feel bad that it happened to you.
Yes.
And do you think you learned anything about life in that camp?
I think so. I don't regret it.
You don't. Do you? No. Think you smartened up a lot about life?
Oh, I spotted up a lot. I've found out lots of different things, and I've read things, different things too, which I'd never read about if I hadn't been in a situation like that.
You were just really a green and experienced man when you went in there.
Right.
I guess you'd had a pretty nice upbringing, and you didn't have.
Oh well, I had a decent upbringing.
And so you never knew what to. The hardships were in the.
And I was brought up in a small community.
Yes. Where everybody was your friend.
Where everybody was, knew everybody, knew everybody's business.
Yeah. So this was even a worse.
That was more of an experience than anything else.
It's amazing. Was there anybody in the camp that sort of kept you guys morale together? Was anybody you looked to?
Yes, we looked to more or less our commanding officer.
Who was that?
That was Mr. Holmes.
Mm-hmm. Was he a pretty nice guy?
Oh yes, he was very. He was just like a father to us.
And he really took care of you. How about Dr. Crawford? Was he there?
He was a very nice person too. It was Dr. Crawford and Dr. Banfield, and this other. He was an Indian doctor.
They worked hard for you, Father.
They worked hard, very hard for us.
Did you ever get it? Did you have pain? Was your arm in pain?
No, it never pained me whatsoever.
Oh, well, that's lucky. Otherwise, how about your feet?
My feet, I did have a touch. You've heard about this, these hot feet.
Yeah.
I did have a touch of it.
Did they pain you?
For a while, but it didn't last too long.
Of course, you weren't working. Heavy labor.
No, but there was lots of other people that wasn't working it.
And it got worse.
It got worse and worse and worse.
Did you see that show? Did you guys put on any shows or any plays or did any
concerts? Yes, they was. We had a few. I don't say quite a few, but we had a few concerts. We had some at different times of the year. We had some at Christmas. Some in the middle of summer, something like that. Just remember the dates or anything.
You had sing songs.
Had sing songs and they had a real good place. Like.
And was Bardell in your camp?
Yeah.
Did he keep the little things going pretty well?
Well, he was with more or less with the Grenadiers, you see.
Oh, yeah, and your Royal Rifles.
And those are Royal Rifles.
Oh, that's right, too. So
we was all mixed up though. We wasn't divided for one part here and one part there. We was all.
Were the Indians mixed up with you too?
No, they had their own quarters.
And the British were in their own, were they?
Yeah.
How about Hong Kong civilians? Were they mixed up with you?
No. They had. They was more or less in with the British.
Oh dear.